This is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship podcast for Sunday, November the 1st. I can't believe it is November the 1st. And this is Daylight Savings Time ending weekend, so set your clocks back an hour if you haven't already. We had our pumpkin patch this past couple of weeks, and it was wildly successful thanks to the efforts of Amy Lacey and Linda Robinson and their crew. Also, thanks to Trish Grimm and Jane Perry, they headed up our first ever pumpkin patch, pumpkin decorating and carving contest. Look on our webpage to see the winners in that contest. Also, if you have not voted early in our election this fall, I want to strongly encourage you to exercise your franchise on Tuesday, November the 3rd. What makes America so special is that for over 200 years, we have this wonderful democracy that changes governments peacefully from time to time. And so be sure and get out and vote for the candidates of your choosing. And on a more somber note, we have to admit that our nation is really struggling with the coronavirus. It looks like cases are on the rise. I'm afraid that deaths will follow those cases and that we are not in a good place. So I implore you to do everything you can to be responsible in your response to the COVID virus. Wear your mask, socially distance, don't go out in big crowds. Just be a good neighbor and let's get through this thing. This Sunday in worship, we celebrate All Saints Memorial Day in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. That is the Sunday we come together and honor and memorialize those of our church family and our church family's loved ones who have passed on to glory in the past year. So during our worship today, we will spend some time in prayer and honoring those who have gone before us. Now I would invite you to take just a few minutes to prepare yourselves for worship as you listen to this beautiful music.
His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. God is with
Our call to worship this Sunday is adapted from Psalm 100. Let's be in worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Pray with me. Eternal God, make us this day to remember the unseen cloud of witnesses who encompass us about, those who in every age and generation witness to their faith in life and in death, those who by their courage and their sacrifice won for us the freedom and liberty we enjoy. Grant to us in this life never to forget those who have gone before, so that in the life to come, we may share their blessedness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For centuries, the 1st of November has been celebrated in the church as a day to honor all the saints known and unknown. In the New Testament, Christians referred to themselves and to fellow Christians as saints. Here at First Christian Church, we honor in a very special service during worship those who have died the previous year. Sunday, today, November 1st, 2020, we honor the lives and memories of these First Christian Church members and families. Dave Coyne, David Deason, Susie Spillers, Jean Paramore Teal, Judy Hopper, Olivia Lenore Eubanks, Thomas Wayne Simmons, Jane Moore, Mary Blackburn, Dick Coyle, and Jim Kaiser. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We come around you this day thankful for those who have gone before us. We have lifted up to you those names of our family who are now in your presence in their glory. We are glad to have had them in their lives and we have entrusted them to you. God, on this Sunday, be with those around us who are helping to keep us safe, the healthcare workers, the first responders, all of our men and women in uniform. Grant us the knowledge that we can make a difference if we will but come to you in prayer and devotion. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways, and the first words of our mouths must always be words of thanksgiving. We pray these and the prayers of our deepest heart in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we take a moment for stewardship, let's look to today's lectionary epistle in which Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. Paul implores the Thessalonians to stick with it. Their faith had kind of faltered. He told them to stick with it even in the face of adversity. Paul asks them to remember how he cared for the Thessalonians, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you live a life worthy of God. You know, that's all of our goals, isn't it? Living lives that are worthy of God and the life that God has given us. We sometimes need that same sort of cheerleading that Paul gave them, because faith can be an uphill battle, it seems, sometimes. When we try to preach peace in the middle of division, or when we try to live as one body and sometimes we can't even get along with each other. How do we witness to God's love at a time when love may seem in short supply? One way is through our generosity. When we give of what we have been given, we testify to God's continued work in this broken world. A life worthy of God includes the sharing of our resources so that others may know what the kingdom of God looks like here on earth. Let us fulfill our calling as God's children as we collect our tithes and offerings. I encourage you to give online or drop your check by the church, or in some way share your resources with your faith community. Gracious God, we come to you humbled, blessed beyond measure, to say thank you with our lips, our hearts, and our resources. Please receive these offerings as an expression of our gratitude, and use them and us to share your good news in a world that is in need of good news. May your light shine through us. Amen. Now, as we prepare to come to the welcome table, the table of remembrance, let's recall that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover meal with his followers whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that like manner, after the meal, he took the cup once again, Elijah's cup of community and of welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant, which would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers, celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." God bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught
Scripture for the day is the most widely read and the most memorized passage in Scripture, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, in 45 years of ministry, yikes, did I say 45 years? Yeah, I'm afraid I did. In that long a period of time, I have never participated in a memorial service where this psalm is not read or sung or prayed. These are the most widely heard words in Scripture. It's the only passage which is holy in the religion of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Whenever I am agitated, whenever my blood pressure is up, or worry has me just about paralyzed, I sit quietly with this psalm, and my spirit is calmed. How about you? Let's take a stroll through this psalm together, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, a shepherd protects his sheep. That is the first rule of good shepherding. A shepherd protects his sheep with his life if necessary. You know, this 23rd Psalm and John 3:16 go together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You see, God loves us in a way that he would protect us no matter what, even if that protection meant giving up his only Son. Not only does a shepherd protect his sheep with his life, a shepherd provides all that his sheep need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Green pastures and still waters speaks to the notion that creation is bounteous. Creation is plentiful. We've got all we will ever need. Oh no, we're going to use up all the dead dinosaurs, all the oil and coal. That will happen, and when that happens, we will have different sorts of energy to use. We're already starting to do that. If we will just accept the fact that God's nature is generous and bounteous, we will have plenty of what we need to live and prosper in a world that we can't even begin to imagine. Can you imagine what life will be like for our great-grandkids 50 to 75 years from now? They will have sources of energy that aren't even invented yet. Green pastures and still waters symbolizes the notion that God has created a universe that is plentiful, bounteous, and we are his children who have been given dominion over this wonderful corner of creation. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So righteousness is one of those religious, churchy-sounding words that make us a little nervous. What about if we substitute right living? He leads me in paths of right living for his name's sake. What does that mean? What does it mean to live rightly? What is the most important thing? That's what they asked Jesus. And what was his response, remember? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. God's very nature is love, and God expects his children to live out that nature with each other. So righteousness is just doing the next right thing day to day. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, life can get scary from time to time, can't it? You're facing a serious illness, or you've had a terrible setback in your business, or you're facing loneliness because your partner has died. All of the bad news that can happen, sooner or later, is going to happen. Life is like that. We cannot escape the sharp edge of life. The words of the psalmist, "For thou art with me," surely must have been in Paul's mind when centuries later he wrote these words, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, or anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Okay, see if you can picture this. You're seated at a table. Your protector, the good shepherd, is there right with you. He's there with his rod and his staff. He anoints your head with oil. He sets your cup down and fills it for you. So you're sitting at a table. Your protector is there. You've got plenty to eat. Your cup overflows, and your enemies are right there next to you. What do you do? Or let me ask you this. What do you think God would want you to do if your enemies are right there before you and your protector was there? You're safe. Nothing can happen to you. What would you do? Would you destroy your enemies? Or would you invite them to sit down and eat with you, to share your cup that's overflowing, to also be protected by the Good Shepherd? I think that might be what he's getting at. I think that surely must be what the line from Abraham Lincoln means when he says, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" And the victorious last line of this psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And on this day, when we come together in spirit to honor and remember the lives of friends and family who have gone on before us to eternity, the words of the psalmist are comforting, reassuring, and victorious good news indeed. Now may the love of God in Christ abide in your hearts both now and forever. Amen.